Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Coming up on 6:32, 55 KRC, the talk station. Better late than never, and always great when you got Vice Mayor Christopher Smithman on the 55 KRC Morning Show. And here we go. Welcome to the show. Didn't see your name on the rundown. Joe says, "Hey, late edition. Vice Mayor Smithman wants to come on." I'm like, "Hell yeah!" How you doing?
I'm doing good. I mean, you know, outside of what we're seeing happening, the violence and the, you know, in our streets of Cincinnati and clustered in certain neighborhoods, it's tough, and we had a tough committee hearing at Law and Public Safety yesterday.
Yeah,
I think our chief and command staff, Colonel Davis and Colonel John did a good job of laying out where the crime was, what was happening, and what their barriers are, the things that they have to deal with in order to get at the root of crime. So it was I thought a very good and sobering presentation to law and public safety.
All right, well, let's just get right into that. What are the barriers that they identified? Now, I remember it was Chief Elliot Isaac, it was Lieutenant Colonel Mike John, Lieutenant Colonel Lisa Davis, the three people you identified. They were providing the statistical information about crime to the Law and Public Safety Committee meeting yesterday. And I did see that there was some good information. I mean, in other words, good news, at least as compared to the rest of the country. Violent crime overall apparently is down compared to last year. Killings are down, but aggravated assault / shootings are up, and that's a major problem we've got going on. But, you know, there were some bright spots in here, and we can at least say on a national average we're much better than other cities, but that's no excuse for the violence. So if the police had their way, if Elliot Isaac said, "I want this, this, and this," what would it be? What are the barriers and impediments?
Well, one of the things he talked about that was sobering is we are below the 1,000 patrol,
yeah.
1,000 officer number.
90 and short.
That's correct. And your sister, being one of those police officers who has retired many years ago, we're seeing that accelerate. And I believe, you know, we can't put our finger on it, but let's just talk openly. One is we had 6 years where we didn't have a recruit class.
Was it that long?
It was a 6-year period of time where we did not have a recruit class in the city of Cincinnati.
Under
a previous mayor, when Mayor John Cranley took over, he came in with a lateral police recruit class, and then we've had recruit classes almost every year. The problem is that 6-year period of time has a lot of those who came in retiring,
yeah.
Like your sister, right? And then layered on top of the civil unrest that we saw happening all across the United States of America, we have a lot of officers that are saying, "I'm out.
Yep.
I'm in drop. I'm 4 years in the drop. I'm 6 years in the drop. I'm in my seventh year. Guess what? I'm leaving now."
Right.
And so we had 66 officers, I believe that was the number, that retired last year. So if we do a recruit class of 60 this year, meaning a 40 in our first class and 20 in a lateral, and we have 66 officers that retire this year,
break even.
Correct. And so this whole discussion about defunding our police department, right, I'm pulling that Band-Aid off, of people saying that we're hiring officers, is just not accurate. And so what the chief was trying to signal to council, number one, in all of our budgets going forward, you have to have recruit classes. Really important. Don't defund our police department. We need officers if you want our 52 neighborhoods to be covered. Number one. Number two, I talked about very openly the traffic stops that are on a decline. And what I said is we are a data-driven department, meaning we're not out just rounding up people, telling them to line up and pat them down. That's not what's happening. We know where the clusters of crime are happening in the city of Cincinnati, number one. And we also know where the vehicle violations are, the traffic violations. We saw a young person driving a car that killed a pedestrian who was a woman who was pregnant.
Yeah.
We know that happened last week. So the question is, in 2018, we were doing 26,000 traffic stops. In 2019, we did 20,000. In 2020, we did 9,000. And in 2021, we've done 5,000.
Oh, wow.
And so what we know is that if we can look at the data, see where the traffic violations are, see where the clusters of violence are, and then have our officers out there slowing down traffic, right?
Right.
People who are driving 70 miles an hour in a 30-mile-an-hour zone. This is where our 52 neighborhoods are crying out for this type of policing. When, if we stop a vehicle, we just want the citizens to be in concert with us, not saying we're racially profiling.
Yeah, that driving while black thing. I was just going to ask you about that because that's the retort you get. Well, when you start, you know, interacting with the community more through police stops, you're just pulling over black people and harassing them. Well, I mean, if your illustration is the motivation, I don't want anybody going 70 miles an hour in a 30-mile-an-hour zone where I live. You know, there are people out there that are, yeah, right, Thomas.
And Brian, we don't have people. You know, one of the things that our police chief indicated to us is the quadruple shootings, right?
Yeah.
We're
having
people with high power
multiple
weapons.
Shootings. Yeah, hold on. I'll tell you what. Since we're already at 6:38, let's pause because that's moving into another area that we do need to talk about. So stick around. We'll have more with Vice Mayor Christopher Smithman. After 6:41, 55 Care City Talk Station. Brian Thomas here with Vice Mayor Christopher Smithman. Great conversation we're having about police work, the current crime statistics in the city of Cincinnati. Betsy Sunderman, Councilwoman Sunderman, is going to be on at the top of the hour to talk about violence, the budget, and seal box tax proposal. So we're in the meeting, or in the middle of this conversation with Vice Mayor Smithman about the number of traffic stops. And you said currently this year we're only at 5,000. Last year did 9,000 for the whole year. I stared at that considering the prior couple of years where it was north of 20,000. Vice Mayor Smith, the point being, if you're stopping an automobile for a violation, whether it's, you know, a broken taillight or somebody stupid enough to do 70 in a 30 or a school zone, there, that's the interaction you have, and that quite often will lead to finding a gun, a firearm, or drugs, or some other evidence of crime. Right?
That is true. Yeah, and where it is data driven.
Okay.
You know, we know the clusters of crime is happening or spiking. Yes.
Okay.
So I want to be clear here: is where we have high levels of traffic violations, and we also have a cluster of high crime.
And where are those clusters? I mean, specific neighborhoods or intersections?
Yeah, specific neighborhoods and intersections. So we can look at, you know, Avondale, we can look at Price Hill, but we can look at where we see that crime happening, and we say, okay, we want to work with, in problem solving, with the neighborhood who wants to see the traffic slow down. No one wants to come out and pull out on 42 with a car going 75 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Okay. And so if you talk to the neighbors who live there, they're not saying they want to defund the police. They are saying that they like more police visibility. We know this is what the chief was saying. We're down below our 1,000 officers, right? And we've got to keep these recruit classes coming so that we can have officers doing this type of visibility policing.
Right.
What I like to use the word is proactive policing. And so it has to be in concert with the community, letting them know, letting them say, this is what we want to have happen. It happened. Now, when that happens, Brian, we know that someone who has a high-powered rifle, has a high-powered rep weapon, and that car is stopped, we know that the person isn't just going to say, here are my guns. Not a problem. And so we know those interactions, those traffic stops, are the most dangerous.
Yes.
For our officers. And so the conversation then, as I had on the floor of council, public figures, what are you going to do? We've gotten 750 illegal guns out of the hands of citizens to date, right? 750 illegal guns to date. What happens when we move that number to 3,000? meaning we know that there's going to be an interaction where our officers are going to be placed in a situation that someone is going to decide to open fire on our officers.
Yes, sir.
And when our officers return fire, we want the community to support our police officers who are out here trying to keep us all safe.
Amen.
And so that's the elephant in the room. Can we get the community to say we are supportive of our officers doing proactive policing in our neighborhood?
Okay. Now, given the numbers, the huge drop of the pullovers, the moving violations, going from 26,000 a couple 3 years ago down to 5,000 so far this year, is that the result of a conscious decision by the police department to not pull people over in these various neighborhoods, or is it the reaction from the individual police officers, to hell with it, I'm not going to get involved because I don't want to be attacked by the community? I'm wondering where this is coming from.
I think it's all of the above.
All of the above.
I think it's also a staffing issue. We talked about we have police visibility overtime available for officers. But just like your family and mine who've been locked up for the last year, these are human beings with families that want to take vacations.
Yeah.
And so no matter how much money you put in front of them, they're saying, we've been on lockdown for the last year. My family would like to go to Florida and have a vacation. So it's the combination of all of that coming together,
yeah,
meaning officers looking out here saying, if I stop that car, right, and there is a bad altercation, will the elected, will the community support me? And clearly, now, again, that's me. That's a speculation. That's a comment without a data.
Without data. I understand.
But what I want to say is that when I talk to our officers out there, or I talk to the wives or spouses of officers out there, that is what they are telling me.
Yeah, I especially would think from the spouses. I don't want my spouse to be involved in that. I don't want to be a widow or a widower, right? I don't want to have my husband or wife's picture plastered all over CNN and the rest of the left-wing media because they were involved in an officer-involved shooting that was, you know, and hopefully legitimate, as tragic as any of them are. But I can certainly hear a chorus of that going on out there.
So Bennington, Officer Bennington and Cypher, these were two officers many decades ago, we'll be honoring this week with a second name, with a street, second naming of a street. These are officers who, what they call a routine, there is no routine traffic stop, stopped a car where the officer was shot in the chest. That officer returned fire, was shot again. The assailant also was firing and shot both officers. One in the head and one in the chest and one in the shoulder, I believe, but both officers were killed.
Jeez.
We'll be honoring those officers on Friday of this week. My point to the public is that these types of traffic stops are not normal. There are no normal traffic stops. They are domestic violence calls and traffic stops are the most risky for our officers.
Wow.
What we really need to have happen here is the community to get behind us. So as we bring our groups together, there's a group that gets together called MAG, which is driven by the city manager. I've asked our police chief, I want this conversation to happen for us to say data-driven, not vortex, not like with some broad net, just randomly stopping vehicles, randomly stopping citizens. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about where we're having quadruple shootings.
Yeah.
Where 16-year-olds and 8-year-olds are being shot and killed. 92% of those who are being shot are African-American men.
Yeah.
And so for me, when I talk about Black Lives Matter, it includes all of these things that are happening. And we have to have those moral voices that are coming to the table. Because the communities, Brian, they want policing. They're not in the camp of saying they want to defund our officers. What they want is professional policing, which they have in the city of Cincinnati. They have neighborhood officers who are engaged with them, who the citizens in the community and the neighborhood officers get along incredibly well in the city of Cincinnati. What we have to have is, if there is an altercation, that the electeds, this is what the chief said yesterday, that you are waiting to hear what the results of the investigation are.
Evidence.
Prior to you opening your mouth.
Yes. Gee, wouldn't it be a better world if we all did that? Jeez, you know, it doesn't even sound like a tall order. If you're an elected official and you're firing off your mouth before you get all the information, I mean, it's like that LGBT thing that happened down, was it Florida or whatever? One of their own folks accidentally rammed into and killed one of their fellow gay chorus members, and the local mayor immediately called it intentional terrorism, hate crime, and turns out it's one of the gay chorus members, this old guy driving a truck into the crowd by accident. He had some kind of health issue. I mean, shut up. Wait for it to happen, because you're going to be looking like a complete fool if you're the one spouting off before you know what's going on.
And that's what the chief said. I have a press conference usually within 24 to 48 hours of the incident. He does. I've stood with him many times. He provides a lot of information. He comes back if there's more information to be found. I remember a situation, and I think it was in Madisonville, July 4th weekend a couple of years ago, where an African-American male was at the top of a hill with a knife. He charged our officers. The officers with their body cams were saying, please stop, please stop. Come on, man, stop. Put the knife down. He kept charging. The officers fired, hitting the citizen two or three times. If you heard the community at the time, right, people were speculating on the outside.
Yeah.
You know, we were trying to, like, what was happening? Look, these were African-American officers. This was an African-American citizen that we didn't know at the time. He was the person that actually called the police to the park. So it was this suicide by cop. And so the news media, as they were talking about this, trying to get the information fast, when the police chief said, listen, here's what happened. This is what our officers did. And that the last data point was he was the one that called the police on himself. I saw the media put their pens down. My point is, let's wait for the information before we start talking about things. And I think that's a big problem across the United States of America.
It is. I would also just point out one thing. Yes, please wait to offer your opinion and conclusion about what happened. But also, as elected officials or, you know, members of the religious community or community leaders generally, please also echo the same sentiments and say, wait, wait, wait. We're going to wait till we get the information, and then we will decide whether or not we need to have a protest or something needs to be addressed. Wish we heard
That's
that
correct.
Just across the board, uniform voices of calm and reason. Vice Mayor Christopher Smithman, God bless you, sir. Thank you so much for coming on the program last minute. It's good to hear from you, and good luck with the budget today.
It wasn't last minute. Let me just share with you. Your producer sent me a text message yesterday. I just missed it.
Oh, okay.
And so let me apologize.
No. Listen, no apologies. No apologies necessary.
So this is me catching up with Joe Strecker. And let me say that people can follow me on Twitter @Vote Smitherman, and I'll be listening to my colleague, Councilwoman Sunderman, as she comes up at the top of the hour.
Appreciate it. Christopher, you take care of yourself and stay well. Best of love
to you
and your family. 652 coming up on 653, 55 KRC, the talk station. Quick word for USA and Select.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.